Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back with me, Amanda. Today, I'm going to accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, I'm going to present some segments to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Listener, we begin with the news. Don't forget to keep staying tuned to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. You can listen us on frequency 3325 kHz and check out our website at www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia affirms its commitment to strengthening maritime safety. Indonesia-Australia agreed to accelerate the ratification of SIEPA. Now, the news in detail. Indonesia is one of the maritime nations which has the longest coastline in the world, has actively participated in improving maritime safety and security. Indonesia proves its commitment to strengthening maritime safety by deploying its delegations at the International Maritime Organization Maritime Safety Committee 1 and 1st Session at the International Maritime Organization Maritime Safety Committee 101st Session, which has taken place in London, the United Kingdom, from June 5 to 14, 2019. On the occasion, the Indonesian delegations were led by Indonesian Ambassador in London, Rizal Sukma, and Deputy Ambassador Adam M. Tugio. Indonesian Transportation Attaché at the Embassy of Indonesia in London, Lolan Panjaitan, on Saturday, June 8, said that at the 101st session, Indonesian delegations put forward several priorities, including the establishment of law on the application of low sulfur fuel, which will be implemented in 2020. Lolan, in her press release received by Republika Online on Sunday, explained that the Maritime Safety Committee is a technical body that has the authority of performing the assignments delegated by the International Maritime Organization. The Indonesian and Australian governments agreed to accelerate the ratification of the Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, or SIEPA, which is still going on. It was remarked by Indonesian Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita in Tsukuba, Japan, on Sunday, June 9. As reported by Antara, the acceleration of SIEPA was one of the points discussed at the bilateral meeting held between Indonesian Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita and Australian Minister of Trade, Tourism and Investment Simon Birmingham on the sidelines of the G20 Summit and ministerial meetings on trade and digital economy. Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita assured that the ratification of the free trade agreement would accelerate the implementation of the two countries' cooperation and investment, which have been carried out progressively. Indonesia and Australia agreed the commitment to strengthen cooperation. In March 2019, and both sides are still waiting for the ratification process to finish so that their partnership programs could be immediately executed. Indonesian Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita said that the Group of 20 or G20 Forum is making every effort to ease trade war tensions which potentially disrupt the performance of global trade. It was stated by Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita on the sidelines of the G20 ministerial meeting on digital trade and economy in Tsukuba, Japan, on Sunday, June 9. Escorted by Antara, the effort is necessary to prevent the global trade growth from declining further as projected by the World Trade Organization, WTO. Engar Tiasto pointed out that WTO would likely make another adjustment to the projection in the second half of 2019 if the condition remains as it is. Hence, he explained that effort to ease the trade war tensions between the US and China must be implemented in a bid to tackle sluggish global economic growth. The G20 meeting discussed several aspects such as economic data, de-escalation of trade war, reduction of subsidies for fair trade, reform of WTO role, and significance of multilateral cooperation. Researcher at Center for Indonesian Policy Studies, CIPS, Galuh Oktania said that if the government focuses on handling cybercrime, namely crime perpetrated in cyber media, it would boost the performance of e-commerce sector in a bid to stimulate the national economic growth. It was stated by Galuh Oktania in her press release received by Antara in Jakarta on Sunday, June 9. Galuh explained that cybercrime impedes the growth of e-commerce sector since consumers are doubtful about the credibility of purchasing goods online. Therefore, Galuh called on the government to improve the security and convenience of e-commerce in a bid to regain people's trust at conducting electronic transactions and shopping online. In addition, Galuh affirmed that electronic financial transaction is one of the government's efforts to achieve financial inclusion through digitalization. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Former Chief Justice of the Indonesian Constitutional Court, MK Mahfud MD, said that both presidential candidate pairs must willingly accept the verdict of the Constitutional Court regarding the election dispute. It was stated by Mahfud when contacted by Republika on Monday, June 10. In addition to accepting the verdict, he called on the two presidential candidate pairs to respect the verdict of MK. Mahfud MD also pointed out that the government must remain operating in accordance with the Constitution despite the dispute. He also called on the Constitutional Court to be objective and transparent in processing the verdict. Mahfud hoped that the two parties would be able to provide reliable evidences at the upcoming session on June 14. He also hoped the two sides could hold dialogue in overcoming the issue. Mahfud also hoped both parties to be prudent in solving the disagreement. Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Minister Susi Pujastuti plans to sink 30 foreign ships intercepted for illegally fishing in Indonesian waters. Minister Susi said the ships were now located in Pontianak in West Kalimantan, Natuna and Tarempa in Riau Islands, and Bitung in North Sulawesi. A court has deemed the 30 ships as illegal. During her 4 years in office, Minister Susi sunk more than 500 ships. The office claimed this policy had succeeded in deterring 10,000 ships from illegally entering Indonesian waters. The ministry's head of Illegal Fishing Prevention Task Force, Satgas 115, Mas Ahmad Santosa, said most of the ships were from Vietnam and China. He urged the foreign ministry to conduct bilateral negotiations with the two countries. The last item. The development of organic farmers in Indonesia still encounters a number of challenges. As quoted by Kompas, many organic fertilizers have not yet fulfilled the standard, such as having adverse and inconsistent as well as containing heavy metals. Director of Fertilizers and Pesticides at the Directorate General of Infrastructures and Facilities, Morizal Sarwani, explained that it is an utmost importance for fertilizer producers to comprehend about the quality standard in producing organic fertilizers. In addition, Morizal pointed out that organic fertilizers which contain inappropriate substances would disrupt the quality soil. Hence, the Indonesian Agriculture Ministry is taking measures to protect farmers in maintaining their productivity by revising Ministerial Regulation No. 70, year 2011, to Ministerial Regulation No. 01, year 2019, about organic fertilizer, bioenhancer, and soil conditioner. The revision of the regulation aims to protect consumers from choosing the wrong fertilizers and disseminate information about top-quality organic fertilizers. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's commentary is about bank credit keeps growing amid global economic challenges. It will be presented by Rahmana.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Bank Credit Remains Growing Amid the Global Economic Slowdown. While listener, amid the change in global economic growth projections by international institutions, Indonesian Financial Service Authority OJK still optimistic that domestic growth will remain positive. According to Chairman of Board of Commissioners of Financial Services Authority OJK, Wimbo Santoso, the dynamics that have occurred in the global economy have little direct effect on Indonesia. At present, the demand for goods and services for domestic consumption still dominates Indonesian economic growth. Credit growth rates reflect the transmission of domestic economy, especially domestic consumption. The high credit growth indicates that the business expansion climate in Indonesia is still passionate. Indonesia certainly cannot rely too heavily on investment. Export to a number of countries must also be maintained. Amid the heated trade war between China and the United States, Indonesia must continue to look for new markets for export purposes as a component of economic growth. Based on the latest data from Bank Indonesia, as of March 2019, the average bank credit growth reached 11.5%. This decreases compared to February 2019, which reached 12.1%. Even so, Bank Indonesia predicts that bank credit growth in 2019 will still be in the range of 10 until 12%. What does Bank Indonesia need to do to maintain and simultaneously encourage growth? The Financial Service Authority OJK certainly needs to support various government policies that provide incentives to improve the competitiveness of Indonesian products in the global market. It is hoped that in the future, Indonesian export will no longer be too dependent on China, which is currently involved in the trade war against the United States. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
For the next program, we will take you to find out more information about historic events that happened on the day 10th of June in our program Today in History.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our program Today in History. Well, Today in History starts from an event on June 10, 1942, when a German soldier killed ladies resident as a revenge on assassination of Nazi Lieutenant Reinhard Heydrich. Adolf Hitler was very angry when hearing Reinhard Heydrich had been killed, and he instructed immediate investigation. Intelligence connected the killers with the average associated with a village, namely Leidis, 22 kilometers of northwest of Prague. To give lessons so that similar event did not happen again, Hitler ordered to execute the residents of male adults and to deport female population to concentration camp. Children who had blonde hairs and blue eyes were separated from their families and adopted by German families. Their houses were burnt and its remains were flattened. The next event is that in 1947, the Relationship Agreement of Republic of Indonesia and Egypt was signed in Cairo. Indonesian President Sukarno sent diplomatic mission to Egypt in retaliation for a reapple of Egyptian Consul General in Mumbai, Abdul Munim, who visited Jakarta several months before. The diplomatic mission, which was led by Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs, Haji Agus Salim, was assigned to mobilize support on independence of Indonesia in international world and sign the relationship agreement between Egypt and Indonesia. The reason on political and trade agreement of the two countries were signed in Egypt. Egyptian side was delegated by Prime Minister Nokrasi Pasha, who was also an Egyptian foreign affairs minister, and Indonesia was delegated by Agus Salim. The signing of the agreement increasingly confirmed Indonesian sovereignty as an independent state. Egypt was the only country which recognized the sovereignty of Indonesia in de facto and de jure at the time. The agreement was the first victory of Indonesian diplomacy abroad, and the Dutch failed to prevent the recognition of Indonesian sovereignty abroad. The last event is that in 2009, Suramadu Bridge between Madura and Java Island was inaugurated. Suramadu Bridge, which was Francis Madura Straits, connects Java and Madura Island. With a length 5,438 meters, the bridge is the longest one in Indonesia. The bridge consists of three parts, namely flyover, connecting bridge, and the main gate. The bridge initial construction was inaugurated by the 5th President Megawati Sukarno Putri on August 20, 2003, and officially opened by the 6th President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono on June 10, 2009. The construction of the bridge is aimed to accelerate development on Madura Island, covering infrastructure and economy in East Java. Because connecting two islands, development technology of Suramadu Bridge was designed to allow ships to pass under the bridge. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Ku kan melaju membawa surat cinta bagimu, kata-kata yang sedikit gila, tapi ini adanya. Perahu kertas mengingat ajaib hidup ini, mencari-cari tambatan hati. Kau sahabatku sendiri, hidupkan lagi mimpi-mimpi. Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
That was the first song entitled Perahu Kertas, sung by Maudie Ayunda. You still stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. For the next segment, we will highlight an issue in our program My Indonesia. In this program, we will highlight an issue about Indonesia and Australia agree to accelerate CEPA agreement.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program My Indonesia. The title of today's My Indonesia is Indonesia and Australia agree to accelerate CEPA. The governments of Indonesia and Australia have agreed to accelerate the ratification of Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement CEPA, which is still ongoing process. Indonesian Trade Minister Enggartiasto Lukito said on Sunday that the CEPA is currently being processed. It is expected to be ratified this year and will be implemented in 2020. This was one of the points of discussion between Minister Enggartiasto Lukito and Australian Minister of Trade, Tourism and Investment Simon Birmingham on the sidelines of the G20 Minister of Meeting on Digital Trade Economy in Tsukuba, Japan. Antara News Agency reported Minister Enggartiasto had confirmed the ratification of the CEPA could accelerate their commitment to increase trade and investment cooperation between the two countries, which has been well established. Minister Enggartiasto further explained that the acceleration of this ratification is also due to the encouragement of business world of both countries. Another point in the discussion conducted with Australia is related to the ongoing negotiations of the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, RCEP, among 16 member countries. The negotiation on pre-trade commitments launched in November 2012 are not easy to pursue because each country still has its own interest. According to Minister Enggartiasto, Indonesia asks Australia to be flexible. In addition, it should be taken into consideration that India has a new trade minister. Meanwhile, Thailand, as a chair of ASEAN, also is awaiting a new cabinet. Another topic of the discussion is about the importance of reforms in the World Trade Organization, WTO, so that the organization has had bargaining power in resolving trade disputes. On this occasion, Minister of Trade Enggartiasto Lukito also held a bilateral meeting with Deputy Minister of Trade of the People's Republic of China, Wang Xuan. The points that became the main discussion were the ease of export of swallowness, agriculture products and tropical fisheries and fruits to China. In addition, they also discussed the follow-up of the agreement regarding the establishment of trade working group between Indonesia and China. While listening, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Sahabat sejatiku, hilangkah dari ingatanmu di hari kita saling berbagi. Dengan kotak sejuta mimpi, aku datang menghampirimu, ku perlihatkan semua hartaku. Kita selalu berpendapat, kita ini yang terhebat, kesombongan di masa muda yang indah. Aku raja, kau pun raja, aku hitam, kau pun hitam, arti teman lebih dari sekedar materi. Kau jemput aku
Voice of Indonesia.
That was the second song, entitled Sahabat Sejati or True Friend by Sheila on 7. For the next segment, we would like to take you to explore more about Indonesian culture, tourism heritages, and local wisdom in our program Indonesian Wonder. For today's edition, we will introduce you about Trunajaya dance from Bali Island. Listener, in today's Indonesian Wonder, we will introduce Trunajaya dance from Bali. Stay tuned. Trunajaya dance is one of new creation dances from Bali, precisely Buleleng Regency, North Bali. The dance was created in 1915 by Pan Wanderes in the frame of Kebiar Legong. Then, the dance was refined again by Igede Manik, who is a well-known artist from Bali. Trunajaya dance describes youth's movements in which they are getting adult, very emotional, and their attitude always tries to attract women's heart. The dance includes entertaining dance whose performance can be showed everywhere, including at the yard of temple, field, indoor or outdoor opened stage and other places. Based on history, Trunajaya dance could not be separated with Kaka Biaran dance, which means that it is close to Kebiar. It is called like that because the dance is accompanied with not only gamelan gong Kebiar, but its movement, which is very dynamic and it looks like Kebiar. The development of gong Kebiar, which has existed initially since 1920, has attracted through dynamic and modern rhythm. Gong Kebiar is loved by people, especially the youths, and it quickly spreads throughout Bali. More interestingly, since I Maria created the Kebiar dance. In Buleleng Regency, people are very enthusiastic to welcome the arrival of Gong Kebiar, even getting special attention from the Dutch colonial at the time. The existence of Gong Kebiar in the region has encouraged the appearance of various kinds of new dance movements which use gamelan as the accompaniment of the dance. Initially, the dance was single one, which would also included Babancihan dance, because it presents men's and women's characteristics. Along with its development, Trunajaya dance is performed by more dancers. The dance has flexible duration. The shortest duration of the dance is around 11 minutes. Listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
That was the third song by Andira entitled Menghilang or Disappearing. For the next segment, we will take you to learn Indonesian language in a fun and simple way. In our program, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. For today's edition, we will introduce a topic about Where is the Spoon? So if you want to learn more about Indonesian language, let's check out this segment.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development and Cultivation Agency at the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is What Are You Doing? Or, kamu sedang apa? Next is a conversation about kamu sedang apa? Or, what are you doing? Joko's family celebrating Lebaran. Tony and Dinda watch wedding pictures at Joko and Dinda. Joko then comes and greets them.
Kalian sedang apa?
Ini, kami sedang melihat foto pernikahan kita.
Iya, kamu masih sangat muda dalam foto ini. Sekarang aku masih muda juga kan?
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabularies and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. And you can follow after me. Kamu sedang apa? Kamu sedang apa? What are you doing? Kalian sedang apa? Kalian sedang apa? What are you doing? Foto. Photograph. Kami sedang melihat foto pernikahan kami. Kami sedang melihat foto pernikahan kami. We are watching our wedding photographs. Kamu masih sangat muda dalam foto ini. Kamu masih sangat muda dalam foto ini. You look very young in this photograph. Sekarang, aku masih muda juga kan? Sekarang, aku masih muda juga kan? Now I'm still young, right? Ibu sedang apa? Ibu sedang apa? What are you doing, Mom? Kamu sedang apa waktu aku menelpon? Kamu sedang apa waktu aku menelpon? What were you doing when I called you? Gempa bumi. Gempa bumi. Earthquake. Membaca buku olahraga. Reading sport book. Mandi. To take bath. In the dialogue, there was an expression, kalian sedang apa? Which means, what are you doing? The question is usually used when you want to know the activities of other persons. Here are some other examples. Kamu sedang apa? What are you doing? Dia sedang apa? Which means, what is she or he doing? Ibu sedang apa? Which means, what are you doing, Mom? If you want to ask about someone's activities in the past, you should add the sentence with adverb of past time. For examples, kamu sedang apa waktu aku menelpon? Kamu sedang apa waktu aku menelpon? Which means, what were you doing when I called you? Kalian sedang apa ketika terjadi gempa? Which means, What were you doing when the earthquake occurred? Kalian sedang apa? Or, sedang apa kalian? Which means, what are you doing? Two answers of the questions are, aku sedang mandi waktu kamu menelpon. Aku sedang mandi waktu kamu menelpon. Which means, I was taking bath when you called me. Kami sedang belajar ketika terjadi gempa. Kami sedang belajar ketika terjadi gempa. Which means, we were studying when the quake occurred. Some other examples. Kamu sedang apa? Or, what are you doing? Saya sedang membaca buku. Or, I'm reading a book. Kemarin, aku menelpon kamu tidak diangkat. Kemarin, aku menelpon kamu tidak diangkat. Which means, I called you yesterday, but you were not there. Ya, maaf. Kemarin, aku sedang olahraga. Ya, maaf. Kemarin, aku sedang olahraga. Which means, sorry, I was doing sport yesterday. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for more details, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Kalian sedang apa?
Ini, kami sedang melihat foto pernikahan kita.
Iya, kamu masih sangat muda dalam foto ini. Sekarang aku masih muda juga kan?
Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
Bayangan dirimu selalu mengisi hatiku. Bilakah kan
Voice of Indonesia.
There was a song entitled Kau, which means you in English, sung by T5. You still stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. For the next segment, we will inform you about Indonesian music. Keep streaming and listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today we present you a song entitled Cinta Kita. The song Cinta Kita was originally composed in pop rock genre and popularized by Indonesian lady rocker Inka Christy, featuring Amy Search from Malaysia in 1991. Then the song is recycled by Hetty Kus Endang in modern kroncong genre. The song Cinta Kita tells about feeling of love of a couple lover who always want to be together forever. By using parable, the composer wants to describe the power of love of the couple lover. Listener, let's listen to the song Cinta Kita by Hetty Kus Endang. Enjoy the song.
Demi cintaku padamu, kemana pun ikut denganmu, walaupun harus ku terjang lautan bara. Ooh.
Voice of Indonesia.
For listening to our English program on Voice of Indonesia, please give us your suggestion and criticism through our social media, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia. Also, don't forget to check out our Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at voiindonesia, and also send us your email to our email address, voi@voinews.id.